Jonah is often dismissed as a wimpy leader. He's the reticent prophet who went down in history for running from God. But when you dig deeply into the Old Testament record of this man's life, we come away with an entirely different assessment. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our brand new study of Jonah. This is message number one in a comprehensive 9-part series. Our desire is to begin this study by stripping away our preconceived notions and listening to what God's Word actually teaches. Chuck titled his opening message, Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet.
In chapter 1, Jonah is running from God, as we've seen. On the ship, off the ship, into the sea, he's on a mad dash to get away from the presence of the Lord. The fish comes and he comes to a sudden realization that the fish is his deliverance, not punishment. The seamen know nothing of this. They're up on the ship grateful that the storm is calm, but down below a man's life is being changed, or at least his mind. And in chapter 2, Jonah is running to God, because in the fish, you will find Jonah offering up a prayer. It's one of the strangest places in all of Scripture to find a person in prayer. It's a messy place. It's a dark place. It's hot. In fact, as I did my homework and found among those few who have been pulled from the innards of a fish, when they were found and found alive, their bodies were bleached in places from the acid of the fish's digestive system. Chapter 3, we have Jonah finally running with God. Gets the same commission, the very same commission he was given in chapter 1. And he hears it again, but this time he doesn't think of Tarshish. He thinks there's only one place for me, Nineveh. Quite a place for a zealot like Jonah. Maybe you've not thought of it that way, but it's true. Jonah ran with his own people. To him, God was exclusive. Exclusively for the Jew. And Jonah is told, you're to go into Gentile territory. Were he to go, and were they to change, how would the Jews back home feel when he comes back and he tells them, I have news for you. The ones we've hated all our lives are now, by faith, one of us. You think they're going to love him for that? With all the prejudice and exclusivity in the thinking of those Jews he ran with back home? Without agreeing with him necessarily, you'll understand why he did what he did. Now, this gives us an opportunity to hats off to Jonah. Chapter 3, he's running with God. And he doesn't stutter. God said, get up and go, and he got up and went. This time we read Jonah obeyed the Lord's command, and he went to Nineveh, the city so large it took 3 days to see it. It's a massive city. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted. So he's not reluctant here. He is on the street. No one knows him. Here is this guy fresh from the fish's belly announcing disaster. Jonah entered the city and shouted, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Allow me just a moment for a preacher's imagination here. Deep within him, there was some sense of satisfaction in that message. I'd love to see all of you killed. Every last one of when we get to this book in closer look, you'll learn of the Assyrians, in this case the Ninevites' brutality. They were, well, the atrocities were almost beyond imagination. Stacks of skulls were left in their wake after a war. As the victims were beheaded, skulls boiled and then stacked. People were filleted, men, women, and children, mercilessly by the Assyrians. They were known for this. So when Jonah announces, 40 days you will be destroyed, he keeps on the move. No one throws anything at him. No one assaults him. On the contrary, verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God's message from the greatest to the least. They declared a fast, put on burlap to show their sorrow. And the next verse says, even the king comes from his throne and dons burlap and sits in ashes, the mark of bankruptcy and ultimate humility, and sends out a decree to the city, no one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning. And he goes on to declare this edict. I mean, this is a genuine repentance. A wholesale repentance, and the city experiences revival. As I said earlier, this is the greatest revival in the history of the scriptures and perhaps even of time. 120,000 souls. And in case you wondered why he ran like he did, he tells us right here in chapter 4, verse 2, that is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew that you were merciful. I knew that you were filled with compassion, meaning Jonah was not. And I knew when I declared your message, you would do that. You'd do a work in their lives. Just kill me now. I can't bear to see it. Goes out on the edge of the city and sits under a gourd plant that grows rapidly with wide leaves, and it shelters him from the searing hot sun, and he finds comfort in that. And then a worm comes, and I can just see Jonah trying to stomp that worm out, and he eats that gourd, and that baby dries up, and he's now under the sun, the heat of the sun, and he is in one childish pout. How dare you do that? I wanted them dead. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? And to be angry that the plant died? You're worried about a plant? And Jonah is impudent enough to shake his fist in God's face and say, yes, I have every right to be angry. I'm angry enough to die. The Lord said, you feel compassion about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I have compassion for such a great city? What you have read in excerpts from Jonah's own account, and by the way, he gets high marks for vulnerability as he writes his story. But these are the words of a blind, obstinate, selfish man filled with prejudice. I'll address that more in depth next week, and some of you will not like hearing it. because some of you harbor racism and prejudice to this day. And because of that, in Jonah's life, he's cultivated this bitter attitude that not even the salvation of an entire city could melt his heart. Jonah can only think of himself, and probably is thinking, what am I going to tell the people back home? I gave them God's message, and of all things, they believed it. So he's in the ultimate catch-22. He doesn't think he's going to be received by the people, and he is. And he wonders if he will be received back home. We're never told. I find four lingering lessons in this book. You might want to write these down. You just may need them sooner rather than later. Who knows what tomorrow holds? Here's the first. Running from God is a theological impossibility. Running from God is a theological impossibility. You cannot, as I said earlier, you cannot outrun omnipresence. Everywhere at once, wherever you go, he is there. It only complicates things, and today some of you are running as fast as you can run. You have an affair going. It's the secret of your life. Your mate does not know it. Your family does not know it. Others of you hidden in pornography. It's not known in the home that it's going on, but it's going on. And in that, every time you view it, you're running further. You're going deeper. And the addiction is grabbing a greater hold on you. It's impossible to think that all of that is secret. Secret sins on earth are open scandals in heaven. So let's start here. Jonah knew better, but he didn't act better. So he ran, trying to escape Palat, trying to escape the presence of God. Here's the second. Running to God is a personal necessity. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry, writes David in Psalm 40. He lifted me up from a horrible pit, from the muck and mire and the mud, and put my feet on a rock and established my going. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. That's a testimony of a man who has run to God. Far from perfect, a flawed, scarred individual pulled up from the muck and mire who simply says, I run no longer. I've come to my senses. I'm of the impression that all prodigals are temporarily insane. Seriously, things are said, things are thought, things are done that are marked by insanity. Husbands will do the most insane things in a state of carnality. So will wives. So will kids. We're quick to say the kids will. We're not as quick to say we will. Here's a man who is coming back to his senses. Remember the prodigal? Knee-deep in pig slop and excrement, starving, eating the pods that were going to be fed to the hogs. This young man said, I will go to my father. But before we read that, it says he came to his senses. Meaning what? Meaning he had been out of his senses. Today, there may be just enough being said to arrest your attention and make you aware that you are free to return to your God or to come for the first time if you've never come before. What is beautiful about the Lord God is the gracious way he will deal with you. Rather than shaming you with hands on hips, How could you act like that? Or didn't you know better than you will read nothing of that on the part of our God. You read God asking Jonah questions. You will see the arms of the Father wide open, waiting for his son to come over the horizon, ready with the fatted calf and the feast. Running to God is a personal necessity. Running with God is a remarkable discovery. That's the third I see here. Whenever you run with God, you are in for some remarkable discoveries. Amazing results. The Assyrians didn't assault him. They, in fact, believed him, even though his lips spoke truth, but his heart was in another place, which gives new meaning to the fact that God blesses his message in spite of the messenger. That explains how you can read of an individual who is ultimately exposed and discovered and found to have been in open sin, and yet over a period of time, God used him, I should say, used his message to reach others. He says he will bless his word, he will bless the truth. But if the heart is not right, the one delivering the message is not the example. The remarkable discovery is that God blesses his word in spite of the messenger, often. Finally, the fourth, which becomes really a sad ending, running against God is a pitiful catastrophe. Rather than being thrilled with the results, Jonah sulks like a 9-year-old boy that doesn't get his way. Nothing was more important to him than his own comfort, his own will, and his own plan. And you find Jonah absorbed in pathetic narcissism at the end of the book. And God still pleading with him, shouldn't I have had compassion on this city? That's what caused me to give you the commission to go. I saw the Assyrians. I know what they're doing. I know how empty their lives are. I know if they continue to operate like that, there's only one ultimate destiny for them. Hell isn't hot enough. But Jonah, you go. I'll use what you say. He goes, God uses it. And Jonah's spirit of exclusivity kicks in. And he just can't find any way to rejoice. That's a mind twisted by prejudice. No matter how you desire to paint the picture, it's a twisted mind. You see, so much of what I've talked about today starts with an attitude, which brings us back to our opening line. This may describe your reluctance. Only you know. Bow with me, will you? Just close your eyes. Just sit right where you are. Just for a few moments. How faithful of God to see you through all the things you've been through to this point. How good of God to have stayed right there with you. The one who knows us the best, loves us the most. And he does love you. God is not looking for a way to beat you into submission. He's in the rescue work. If it takes a fish in the sea, he'll send a fish. If it takes an overcast day in the little town of Frisco, he'll use this overcast day to reach your heart. I speak to you who have never come to Christ. And I won't beg and I won't plead and I won't embarrass you. I will simply promise you that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you come to this cross where he died, made the complete payment for your sin once and for all, you will never, ever regret coming. If you do not, you may never have another chance again to consider the offer. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, and you will be born again. We're down front following every service, other pastors as well. We're here to help you as you struggle to make a decision that may bring some fear to you, maybe some confusion. Let us help you. Or you may wish to simply write us, connect with us, and say, I've heard enough to know I don't have what I need to be right with God. What the pastor says is true. I am a person of prejudice. I really am one whose attitude is soured by my times. I have become a cynic, or I am hiding sin in my life, and I realize my life is an open book before God, and I come to Christ today. If you connect with us, I give you my word, we will help you move from where you are to where you want to be in your journey from earth to heaven. Thank you, Father, for the assurance of your truth and the truth of your book. And thank you that though written centuries ago about a man we've never met, in a setting where we've never been, to reach a group of people we've never known, thank you for the relevance in the way it's spoken to us directly. I pray for those today running from you, running to you, running with you, and running against you. Speak to them in their need and connect us, I pray, through the power of the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Running from God is never a good plan. But even when we do, God chases and pursues those he loves. You're listening to Insight for Living and the first of 9 messages in a brand new series from Chuck Swindoll called Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck concluded today's message with an invitation to come to the cross of Jesus and accept his amazing payment for your sin. If you took this step of faith today, or if you'd like to learn more, we invite you to request a free CD or MP3 from Chuck. It contains a message called The Cross We Proclaim. Simply go online and ask for a copy at insight.org/cross. This offer is valid in the U.S. only. This daily radio program and the various resources provided by Insight for Living Ministries are made possible through the generous support of people just like you. We invite your partnership in this cause, knowing God will use your generosity to touch men and women all over the world with his powerful message of redemption. Even in Jonah's rebellion, God continued to extend his hand of forgiveness and mercy. That's the story we tell every day on this program. And that's the purpose of bringing this program to all 195 countries of the world. Many of our listeners have elected to set up an automated contribution. We call them monthly companions. This is a powerful way to link arms with us because your support has a multiplying impact over the course of 1 year. And you can be sure your monthly contributions are channeled directly into providing Chuck's Bible teaching, not only right here, but all around the world. Become a monthly companion right now by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Treat yourself to a vacation you'll never forget on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to the Great Frontier with Chuck Swindoll.
Honestly, I had no idea that a cruise to Alaska could be so much fun. And without a doubt, the stunning views took my breath away.
God's artistic genius is on full display in Alaska. In fact, I guarantee this, you'll come home refreshed and filled with awe for His majestic creation.
Yeah, at one point our ship was getting chased by dolphins. They were playing and spinning in the waves. It was amazing.
You'll have plenty of time for adventures on shore, lingering conversations around mealtime, and strolling through the idyllic ports of call. And this will be memorable because it will be in celebration of our 40th anniversary at Insight for Living Ministries.
The dates are June 29 through July 6, 2019. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new series on the life of Jonah, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Jonah the Reluctant Prophet, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.